WTMZ 98.9 FM, WTMZ 910 AM and 94.7 FM, W234 CD, Dorchester Terrace, Brentwood, Charleston.
Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll catch up with Paul Charchi in about 30 minutes, help you set your fantasy football lineups for the weekend. We'll also preview tomorrow's NFL slate. I'll help you try to get excited for the games if you're not already. And you got to get away from the family, the drunk uncle. You want to go relax, watch some football? I'll break down why they could be intriguing matchups tomorrow. And also, most importantly, more food takes for Thanksgiving. Get to that. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And you can always join the conversation. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Head on over to the website, charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. Or you can always call us, 843-721-9500. That last song that took us out of the first hour getting some love on Twitter. Brad said, Turkey in the Straw sounds amazing. It was good stuff. And the blind horse part had him laughing. Yeah, I looked up the lyrics, and the original version of the song does not have the blind horse. That, whatever version that was, I think he added that in. If you're trying to get across, if I remember the lyrics properly, if you're trying to get across the river, why are you going with a blind horse? That doesn't seem like it's leading you safely across the river. Anyways, Turkey in the Straw, getting you ready for Thanksgiving with some of our Turkey Day-themed music.
That's also the instrumental song you often hear ice cream trucks playing.
Really? I didn't notice. Didn't realize. Nothing gets you excited for ice cream like Turkey in the Straw, let me tell you. So yesterday, every Tuesday, we give a top 10 list. It's the low-hanging fruit, but of course, this time of year, you're putting together a list. You got to rank the best food items for Thanksgiving. So I gave you my top 10 list yesterday. Now, Joe, what would be your number one item? What's the number one thing you like eating most when it comes to the Thanksgiving meal?
That's a thinker.
Really?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on my moods.
For me, it's clearly stuffing or whatever you want to call it. I call it stuffing. Stuffing is, for me, the no doubt number one. It's the thing I look forward to more than any other item. And maybe, I've said that I think we should make stuffing more common or acceptable, that you eat it year-round, but maybe that's part of the appeal, that you only get it really that one day. I don't eat stuffing. I don't know about you. I don't eat stuffing the rest of the year. I mean, maybe, once in a while growing up, like we do a turkey dinner, we do kind of like a mini Thanksgiving meal some other time of the year just as a special occasion, maybe like a turkey's a discount at the store or something. And I don't think my mom's going all out, like she does for Thanksgiving. But there may be like one other time at some point in the year where you're getting stuffing or you're getting like a mini Thanksgiving meal as a regular dinner just because you found the stuff in the store and you felt like doing it. So at the most, you're getting stuffing, two times a year. Maybe that's what makes it so good. But stuffing, for me, is clearly the number one item. I gave you my top 10 list yesterday. And to run through it very briefly, once again, just to give you the order. I had ham 10, turkey 9, then the desserts. I put them all together at 8. I put Brussels sprouts at 7. I have to circle back to this in just a moment. Then I put the rolls at number 6, cornbread rolls, whatever type of bread that you have at your Thanksgiving. That's number 6 on the list. I put the casseroles again, grouping them all together at number 5 because everybody's different. You want to do a green bean, okay. You want to do a sweet potato. You want to do a broccoli, whatever casserole you want. I put it right in the middle of the list. The leftover sandwich the next day is actually number 4, sneaky good. And the top 3 to me are pretty clear. Mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, stuffing in that order. Stuffing's number 1. I put mac and cheese 2 and then mashed potatoes. It got back to me that yesterday after we got off the air, I was traveling and my take on Brussels sprouts apparently was put under the microscope on Fan Talk yesterday. And both Bobby and Trent disagreed with Brussels sprouts. I heard I was mocked for including Brussels sprouts. And I said it at the time when I gave my ranking yesterday. Brussels sprouts are very underrated. You know, there's this new, I don't know what you want to call it, a meme online. There's this new saying. There's this new joke on, like, Twitter. You know, tell me that you don't something without saying it. You know, like, tell me you don't know good music without saying it. And then you use an example. That whole thing, if you're online, you know what I'm talking about. If you're of the older generation, you may have no idea what I'm talking about. But my point being, tell me that you have not eaten Brussels sprouts in years without saying so, right? And that's by saying that Brussels sprouts do not deserve a spot in the list. Now, full transparency, it's hard to come up with 10 different items for a Thanksgiving meal that are common. I grouped all the casseroles together. I'm not going to give you 10 different casseroles. I put all the desserts together. I'm not going to give you a bunch of different pies. So 10 different, completely different items. I've never had Brussels sprouts on Thanksgiving, but I know some do, and I think it's a good addition. Brussels sprouts are incredibly underrated because you probably had them growing up, right, years ago, and you had just the bland, normal Brussels sprouts. If somebody doesn't like Brussels sprouts, they're probably not doing them right, because when you make Brussels sprouts properly, they're fantastic. When you saute them or roast them, and then you put maybe some olive oil in there or some balsamic or a little garlic or all the above, sometimes you can get them with bacon bits in there. Oh, the restaurants, so good. Now, growing up, right, you never wanted to eat your vegetables. And Brussels sprouts can have, like, a weird smell to them when you cook them. And maybe your mom just simply, you know, kept it simple. She just boiled them or just whatever, threw them in the oven. And it was kind of bland. And you didn't like your Brussels sprouts. But if I meet an adult today and they say, I don't like Brussels sprouts, my follow-up will be, when's the last time you had them? Because nowadays, let me tell you, they're doing some amazing things with Brussels sprouts. And they're fantastic. I love Brussels. You go out to a nice restaurant, they got Brussels sprouts on the menu, you got to order them. Now, in regards to Bobby's power rankings, he has ham number one. So I would also say anybody that puts, even the turkey, if the turkey's number one, you're doing Thanksgiving wrong. If ham or turkey is the thing you look forward to most, you're doing Thanksgiving wrong. Because Thanksgiving is all about the sides. Whether it's the mac and cheese, or the creamy mashed potatoes, or of course the stuffing, or anything else, even the pies. Maybe you're a pie guy. You look forward to having the pies for dessert. If you're looking forward most to turkey or ham, now you're doing it all wrong. You get turkey or ham any other time of the year. And I would also say ham, if ham is the choice over turkey, I think you're doing Thanksgiving wrong as well. Ham has its spot on Christmas, on Easter, any other thing. But when do you have turkey? It's like, you know, the NBA has dominated Christmas Day. Now the NFL's coming in to Christmas. And the NBA's saying, what's going on? This is our day. You got your days. Thanksgiving's your day. Even New Year's. Right? Stay over there, football. This is supposed to be about basketball. That's what the turkey's saying to the ham. Well, the only time you ever have turkey is on Thanksgiving. I don't think many people do turkey for Christmas or other holidays, but you can have ham on the other holidays. And turkey is supposed to be, and I know a lot of people have ham for Thanksgiving, but turkey, that is the Thanksgiving day. So that's another red flag to me. If you're saying you prefer ham over turkey, I got some questions. And if you're telling me that you most prefer ham or turkey on Thanksgiving, I'm not coming over to your house for Thanksgiving because you're doing it all wrong. It's about the sides. Who wakes up and looks, oh, I can't wait to have some turkey later. Now, you could have a real debate about turkey versus ham, right? Turkey, there's a reason why people believe it needs gravy. It can be a little dry. Some would tell you that good food doesn't need some sort of, you know, seasoning or some sort of sauce to go with it. You're masking the dryness or the lack of flavor or taste, where ham can be real succulent. It can be good. You don't need, some people put spicy mustard on ham, but you can eat ham just dry by itself. It can be more palatable than turkey. But at the same time, turkey makes you sleepy. At least for me, ham always makes me thirsty. I don't know what you prefer, to be thirsty the rest of the day or to be sleepy. Pick your poison, I guess. But anybody that chooses ham or turkey number one, I don't want to hear you put down my Brussels sprouts. Because you're doing it all wrong if you think that that's the highlight of the meal, is the turkey or the ham. I hardly eat any turkey or ham on Thanksgiving. I just fill up on all the sides. I got all the stuff. I stuff myself with stuffing and mac and cheese and mashed potatoes. And hey, sometimes you get some corn in there, any of the other vegetables, whatever other sides you want. The casserole. I'll have a couple of rolls in there as well. Fill up on some carbs. I don't even care about the turkey or the ham. Leave it off the table. I don't need it. I'll defend my Brussels sprouts take. Stuffing is usually the clear number one. And turkey or ham, I put them at the end of the top 10 because there's so many better options on that table than just the classic turkey or ham. I have a turkey sandwich 5 days a week. Or ham, right? You get the cold cuts. You eat turkey and ham all the time. But when do you have stuffing? Oh, I look forward to that stuffing every year. 2006 was the worst Thanksgiving I've ever had, when my aunt tried to make the stuffing for the first time, and it was so bad. It was unedible, and it ruined Thanksgiving for me in 2006. And I haven't forgotten it 15 years since. The worst Thanksgiving of my life, 2006. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Rob in Charleston is with us. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
Ham just doesn't do it for me on Thanksgiving. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I would pick ham. But turkey is just, it's a traditional thing.
Absolutely.
I guess number one, I mean, we do ham on Christmas Day.
Right.
I mean, I got to go gravy is the sleeper item on the table. The gravy makes every, I put gravy on top of everything. Then I got to go mac and cheese and collard greens. And that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most. Ooh. Especially because my grandmother's cooking, so.
There you go. You know. Yes. Well, hey, appreciate it, Rob. Some good options there. I hear Bobby complaining outside in the hallway. By the way, collard greens, I'm not a collard greens guy. But it's number one for South Carolina for the best Thanksgiving sides. They did a survey online, and that was number one for South Carolina. Biscuit was the number one for North Carolina. It's, of course, about the mac and cheese and about the stuffing and all the sides. Ham, you leave ham to Christmas and Easter. It's all about turkey on Thanksgiving, but really it's more about the sides.
Bobby just walked by and said all the things you just said are the reasons why you spend Thanksgiving alone.
Please. I know how to do Thanksgiving. I mean, I can't cook, but I could tell you how to do Thanksgiving with all the sides. If you're looking forward to ham the most, you're doing it all wrong. By the way, speaking of bad Thanksgiving takes, we'll get to Matthew Judon of the Patriots, who had a terrible Thanksgiving take yesterday when talking to the media. I gave you my top 10 yesterday. I heard it was ridiculed afterwards. I'm telling you. Maybe you don't like, you know, they say your taste buds change every 7 years. Just like, almost like allergies as well. Like your body just changes every 7 years. I haven't had ice cream in over 7 years. It's been just over 7 years. So I guess I got to try ice cream again. It used to not sit well with me, but it's been 7 years. Who knows? Maybe my body has changed. I can now have ice cream again. But if you haven't had Brussels sprouts in a long time and you don't like Brussels sprouts, I'm telling you, give them another try. Vastly underrated. It's something that you didn't think you would like, and then you find out you like them. It's almost like Tom Brady. Tom Brady has turned around. Right, here you go. Here's a Thanksgiving take for you. Let's compare Tom Brady to Brussels sprouts. Tom Brady, you used to hate him when he was on the Patriots. Then he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you realize, like, actually, you know what? I kind of like this Brady guy. He's getting drunk on the boats at the victory parade. He's putting out funny tweets. He's more personable now. He's away from Bill Belichick in the Patriot way. He's having more fun. He's loosening up in Florida, and you think, oh, I've kind of come around on this guy. He used to be, like, over there in New England. He used to be kind of cold, shut off, always won, couldn't stand him. Oh, that Tom Brady. Now he's opening up. He's fun. He's a different guy. I like this Tom Brady. That's Brussels sprouts. As a kid, you may not have liked them. But now, I tell you, they do some amazing things with Brussels. Medicine and Brussels sprouts have seen the largest advancements in the last 30 years. Let me tell you, very underrated. We'll get back to the phones in a moment, but Joe, grab this audio from Matthew Judon of the Patriots, who is having a good year, good player, but he stepped to the podium yesterday talking about Thanksgiving, and he had a terrible take. I think the top three items, as I've said, for Thanksgiving, and I don't think there can be very much, I don't think they can be all that debated either. Stuffing should always be number one. Then you get your mashed potatoes, your mac and cheese. Now, Robin Charleston said gravy. I'm not a gravy guy, but that's okay. We could put that on the list. Here is Matthew Judon yesterday talking about the one thing he does not want to be part of Thanksgiving.
We got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. And we got to get it off the table. It's probably one of the most overrated dishes.
What?
Yeah, that's just terrible. Now, he did say soap opera instead of soap box, so take it with a grain of salt. But that's a terrible take. Mac and cheese is overrated and needs to be off the Thanksgiving Day table.
Or as I would call it, me and cheese.
That's true. He also said he continued on and said something about how it leads to the family lining up to use the bathroom or something. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a personal problem. Your family's got to get checked out for, like, lactose intolerant or something. You got something going on over there, Judon, Thanksgiving gets ruined by everybody eating the mac and cheese. Somebody's doing it wrong.
I think he just ticked off the entire nation of Canada, since Kraft dinner is considered a national dish.
Oh, yeah. And it's not the same Kraft, but he plays for the Patriots. They're owned by Robert Kraft. Careful what you say about the Kraft family or the mac and cheese. And a lot of people have always thought that that was the same Kraft's. Mac and cheese is top-notch, but you have to make sure you do it right. Can't be soupy. It can't be a little, Kraft or what's the other one, Belvita or whatever it is. It's got to be homemade. It's got to be made by your grandmother. Like Rob said, his grandmother's doing Thanksgiving. You got to have years of experience in that mac and cheese. You got to bake it just right. Maybe even a little. I like it even a little, just a little, like even overcooked. Oh, it's fantastic. Homemade mac and cheese. Judon, you're doing Thanksgiving wrong as well. We'll have more Thanksgiving takes coming up. We'll eventually catch up with Paul Charchian as well. Let's go back to the phones, though. 843-721-9500. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
I think he's an idiot. He must have a mental disease or something. You can't have mac and cheese off your table. Come on.
Unbelievable.
That's traditional. The secret of mac and cheese is extra butter with meat.
Oh,
you add a little extra butter and tie all that thing, get a little crusty.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good there.
That sounds
and
pretty
good. And what about banana pudding? You
sure.
know?
Yeah, sure, banana pudding. I will say the one thing that Thanksgiving is lacking, though, I'm not a big dessert guy on Thanksgiving because I'm not really into all the pies. I think we need better desserts.
Oh, man, you got to have pumpkin pie and the pecan pie and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But also, Bobby, it's also stuffing when you saw with the turkey, but when you put it in the turkey, get all the juices out. When you take it out, that stuffing, then it's dressing.
Right, yes. We've had this debate before. I know
sure.
there's some small differences. Yeah, sure. Well, we did stuffing growing up. You call it whatever you want. It's the best part of the meal, though.
Oh, yeah, and then sweet peas.
Sweet peas is pretty good for a veggie,
you know?
What are your thoughts on Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts good. You add cheese sauce to it, and then you're great.
Right. You do have to add something. You can't just have a plain Brussels sprout. That's not very good. But if you saute you throw some balsamic in there.
It'd be like Leave It to Beaver. Remember that episode with Leave It to Beaver where they try to give them like Brussels sprouts and they had a time getting them to eat it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, see,
there's an episode with that deal, you know?
Yeah,
and it was plain, too. June would just not add the cheese sauce or nothing to make Beaver like it or nothing, you know?
Well, that's what you need. You need to add something to it. See, Brussels sprouts have had a bad reputation for years. It used to be the one thing you'd always talk about. It was like a cliche, right? Kids didn't want to eat their Brussels sprouts. But I tell you what, outside of maybe modern medicine, nobody has seen a bigger advancement than Brussels sprouts. What they're able to do with those things nowadays. Get those on the Thanksgiving table. Thank me later. All right, we'll catch up with Paul Charchian coming up in about 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. I got to sell you on these games tomorrow. And some more thoughts on the NFL. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised with how things have gone so far. We'll get to that coming up. We got plenty to do as we get ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have some more food takes along the way. It's the Mara Midday Show. As we honor Freddie Mercury passed away 30 years ago on this day with various Queen songs throughout the afternoon. By the way, Monday, of course, was the anniversary of JFK's passing, the assassination of JFK, which took place at 2:38 Eastern Time on November 22nd. So Monday was the anniversary of that. And Monday was also the anniversary of the passing of the lead singer of INXS. I never remember how he pronounces his last name. Michael Hutchins. INXS, I always contended, is the most underrated 80s band. But Monday was the anniversary of his passing as well. Today, the anniversary of Freddie Mercury's passing. We'll continue to get ready for Thanksgiving and the football weekend. I'll preview things going on in the NFL. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio. She spoke just like a baroness. Middle man, China,
down to get your mind up. Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio. I hear the ticking on the clock, counting
every day I've been alone. How long before you're coming back? If I don't see your
turned to stone.
It's the Maurer Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. As we get ready for Thanksgiving, we'll catch up with Paul Charchi in just about 5 minutes to preview this weekend in the NFL, help you set your fantasy football lineups. We were talking about Thanksgiving food items last segment. May have blown my invitation to Bobby's Thanksgiving tomorrow.
And it makes you hungry, doesn't it?
Yes, hence the song. I am hungry thinking about Thanksgiving foods and stuffing. I shared that I saw this, you know, they did this study for the most popular Thanksgiving side for each state. What's going on in North Dakota? Their number one side for Thanksgiving is a fruit salad. I love a good fruit salad, but not on Thanksgiving. Again, if fruit salad is the thing you look forward to most on Thanksgiving, you're doing it wrong, North Dakota. What else do we got here? Minnesota and Missouri are both their number one side. It's not even a side. They're into, like, the cheese board. Right? That's what you, when you first get to the relative's house, you start off with those are, like, the appetizers. And that's not at the side. That's what you look forward to most, maybe if we're talking Wisconsin here. But come on. Side salad for Idaho. I'm a big salad guy, but same idea, right? If the salad is the best, the most exciting part of your Thanksgiving meal, what are you doing? You're not doing it right. Side salad also for New Mexico. That's their number one choice. No thanks. If I go to somewhere, if I'm going over to someone's house for Thanksgiving, they say, "Oh, you got to try the salad. It's the best part of the meal." I'm saying, you know what? I'm gonna go somewhere else. You invite me over, and the salad is the sales pitch for your Thanksgiving meal. You're doing it wrong. It's collard greens here in South Carolina is the number one side, by the way. And of course, if you listen to the show, you know I grew up in Connecticut. The number one side in Connecticut is mashed potatoes. I could see that stuffing, mashed potatoes, and macaroni and cheese are the most popular ones. Throughout the country. They're also top three on my list. And then the next group are the collard greens and rolls, various types of rolls, right? Everybody does it differently. So however you do your rolls, maybe it's a crescent roll. Maybe it's some sort of buttered roll. Maybe it's cornbread. I throw that into the same category. And creamed corn is actually a pretty high up on this list, too, of the best sides for Thanksgiving amongst Americans. I could get down with some corn. I love corn. A little creamed corn on Thanksgiving as well. That didn't make my top 10 list yesterday, but that's a good option too.
What is the number one side for the state of, say, Utah?
Utah? Well, let me look this up. Hold on. I just exited out. Utah? Why Utah in particular? What am I missing with this? Utah would be rolls. Rolls is number one for Utah.
We had someone thinking it might be Jell-O.
Jell-O?
In fact, you were talking about Jell-O not too long ago.
Yeah, I was, and I'm surprised. Do people still eat Jell-O? I guess in Utah they do. Rolls. I love rolls. I'm a big bread guy, but same idea. If the rolls are what you look forward to most, you can go to any local restaurant. They're giving the rolls away for free, and they give those to you to begin with right, for a reason. They're not too worried about them. They want you to fill up so that you don't eat all the good food. So if you go to somebody's house and you, I can't wait to have some of those rolls. I love bread, but if that's number one, again, I think you're doing it all wrong. That can't be the number one side. All right, anyways, we spent so much time talking about food that I didn't have enough time in this segment to really get to anything. So coming up a little bit later on, we'll start to preview the games for Thanksgiving tomorrow and why the NFL is in the position it currently is when you look at the standings. But when we come back, we'll catch up with Paul Charchian, who will help us get set for this football weekend and help you set your fantasy football lineups with some big games, right? You got three games and six teams to choose from tomorrow on the holiday. So we'll catch up with Charch when we return. We've been playing music throughout the afternoon for a couple of musicians who passed away on this day 30 years ago, alternating between Queen and Kiss. I like how you could tell the clear difference. Right away, you know this is a Kiss song, not a Queen song.
Yeah, for the late, great Eric Carr, who was the drummer at the time.
Uh-huh.
You definitely check out this album, 1985's Asylum, or 1982's Creatures of the Night, for his best work.
All right. Sadly passed away 30 years ago today on the same day as Freddie Mercury. We'll catch up with Charch when we come back. Get ready for the NFL weekend. It's the Maurer Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Getting ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. I think a lot of families, right, mothers will be saying this tomorrow as they're trying to keep things together. I like the pacing of this song by the Ramones, where it's a little chaotic, because as your Thanksgiving may be going to hell, right, your mother's trying to keep it all together, talking about how happy of a family you are when everyone's fighting at the table. Hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving and look forward to getting together with some family members tomorrow. And probably watching some football along the way. Three games in the NFL tomorrow and helping you get set for the football weekend and make those tough decisions with these early games for your fantasy football lineup is Paul Charchian, who joins us now. Check out guillotineleagues.com for his free player rankings. Follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchian. Charch is with us now. Paul. Yeah, there we go. Cut out that music. Paul, good afternoon. How are you? Oh, let's see. Hold on. We can't hear him at the moment. Working on it. We're efforting. Charge, who's with us? Make sure to check out, in the meantime, his free player rankings online, as mentioned, guillotineleagues.com. Follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchian. When you have six teams playing tomorrow, it can be a little tough to make some of these roster decisions.
Now let's. I can hear you
guys. Okay, now we got him. All right, Charge is with us. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, couldn't hear you there. Sorry about that. Oh, we're in a good spot now, I'm happy to say. Hi, and thanks. Merry Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Do you have a Merry Thanksgiving? It's Merry Christmas. What do you have for Thanksgiving?
Just a happy Thanksgiving, I guess.
Happy,
I don't know.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Filling Thanksgiving. What we've been talking a lot, of course, we've gotten off subject this afternoon talking about Thanksgiving food. What's the number thing you look forward to most for the Thanksgiving meal?
Well, listen, very importantly, Luke,
mm-hmm.
Don't try to be a hero with the pumpkin pie. You know, you're not Mary Berry. You're an actuarial or a plumber or a database engineer who's decided to use the sacred gathering of Thanksgiving to throw caution to the wind and try to make a pumpkin pie. First off, when you buy a can of pumpkin mash, I don't know, whatever is inside, whatever that congealed orange stuff is inside the can is,
yeah.
Call it mash, you're getting squash. It's not even pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Specifically Dickinson squash, which represents 85% of canned pumpkin. So somebody, some novice pie confectioner, is trying to bring cold squash pie to your Thanksgiving. Most importantly, Luke, the variation in possible outcomes from your cold squash pie efforts is tremendous. It can go from very bad to very good, but you're a novice. And when you look on the side of the pumpkin can, it looks easy when you look at the directions, but done incorrectly, the novice pie maker will end up with a culinary catastrophe. You're trying to make cold squash pie that tastes like anything but cold squash pie. And the downside on pumpkin pie is the worst thing on the table at Thanksgiving. It can be runny, soupy, or even mealy. Disgusting. You know what's great, Luke?
What's that?
Apple pie.
Mmm.
Apple pie is great. Have you ever had a bad apple pie? No. It's universally adored because it has very little variation in possible outcome. It's always good. Even a novice baker can make a kick-ass apple pie. How invulnerable is the apple pie? Hostess made one last February, and I could pull it out of a dusty vending machine, and it would still be delicious right now. Apple pie. Don't gamble on the pumpkin pie. Don't be a hero.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I'm a big dessert guy, so I could have a great meal, but it can be ruined by a lousy pie or dessert offering, such as somebody trying to make a pumpkin pie when they don't know what they're doing. Let me try to make this transition, because you could say a lot of quarterbacks or teams or football players can be like those pumpkin pies, can be wildly unpredictable from one side to the next. For tomorrow, we have these three games. I'm going to bunch them all together for you, because it's always tough when you have – actually, you know what? Let's try to go one by one to space it out, because it's always tough when, you know, you have six teams playing ahead of everybody else. You got to make some tough decisions. This Bears-Lions game for me is, I want to take my Thanksgiving nap early during that one. Anybody of interest tomorrow for Bears-Lions?
Yeah, well, I mean, the best play for sure is DeAndre Swift, because ever since Dan Campbell started calling the plays, that's all he does is call DeAndre Swift. So we love him in this matchup, but what'll be fascinating about this game, Luke, is do the Bears rally to save the job of their coach, Matt Nagy? Do you think it happens?
I think regardless of what's going on with Nagy, I think you should still be able to beat a winless Lions team. So if I had to pick, I do think the Bears win tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it's the safe way to go. But yes, if it turns out the Bears players really don't have Nagy's back, here's your opportunity to dagger him, right?
Right.
I mean, this is how coaches get fired, is when it's week 11 and you are the first win for an otherwise winless team.
Yeah,
I mean, those are the kinds of events that ends up finishing careers. And I think that's going to be it for Matt Nagy if it turns out that way. Now, Andy Dalton's at the helm. And I think Dalton actually gives the Bears a better chance to win. To this stage of his career, he's a better passer. And I think Dalton should also have a little bit of sympathy for Nagy, because Dalton's been on the hot seat so many times. I think he would be a sympathetic figure there. But here's the funny thing, Luke. Detroit's secondary is shockingly competent despite replacement grade talent. Only three quarterbacks have managed more than one touchdown pass against Detroit. And that was Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Joe Burrow, elite level passers. Everybody else, it's 0-1 touchdown. And here's Allen Robinson. It may not even play in this game. Darnell Mooney's got a foot injury. It's not a great setup for many points here outside of the two running backs, Montgomery and Swift.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Mooney, because in the absence of Robinson and the way he's been playing, I know he's banged up right now. But long term, do you see any sort of prospects for Mooney the rest of the way?
Oh, yeah, dude's got big plays all over. I mean, you saw the 60-something yard touchdown last week. He's got the speed to get open deep. And when they can make that connection and run away, and once he catches the ball, he can run away from defenders. He's turning into a legitimate big play guy. And the hope is that he will grow with Fields, and as Fields gets better command of his passing, and especially the downfield passing, Mooney's going to be good. I think everything here is pointing up for Mooney next year and beyond.
Raiders Cowboys, the second game tomorrow. Both teams that are missing some pieces, the Raiders been a mess. The Cowboys, they're missing some crucial pieces, so could be an option to maybe pick up somebody who steps in tomorrow. Do you like any of the players in that game tomorrow?
Yeah, not really. I don't like members of the passing game very much in particular. Dak has had a disaster game last week. Two games before that in Denver was a disaster game for him. And now Amari Cooper is unlikely to play. And CeeDee Lamb is, we don't know if he's going to get through the concussion protocol on a short week. Usually players don't. So he may be trying to win with Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and Malik Turner. That's not a recipe for success against a Las Vegas secondary. Other than their slump buster game against Patrick Mahomes, they've been awesome. The Mahomes game aside, the league average for passing against the Raiders is a shocking 211 yards and 1.4 touchdowns. That's nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't feel great about Dak bouncing back here. Let's hope CeeDee Lamb comes back, because he's the most important receiver for that team.
Yeah, certainly. And the nightcap is Bills-Saints. Two teams coming off bad losses. The Saints, I know both Kamara and Ingram didn't practice yesterday. Anybody stand out for the nightcap tomorrow?
Well, the fascinating part here is going to be Josh Allen inexplicably struggling against Miami, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis over the last month. He has not looked like his normal sharp self. The only receivers getting anything done is Stephon Diggs. And we know that the Bills won't run the ball. You get Zach Moss at 3.5 yards per carry. The Saints' run defense is the best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be Josh Allen who steps up here for the win. But can you say he will when he couldn't get it done against Miami, Jacksonville, and Indy? It's hard to feel great about it. You know, Saints' secondary was really bad through much of the middle of the season, but they've shut down Ryan Tannehill and Jalen Hurts the past 2 weeks. So I just don't think there's a guarantee that Josh Allen has really the explosive game that we've come to expect from him and really his team needs from him. I hope it happens, but I don't think you can count on it right now.
Talking with Paul Charchian on Twitter, @PaulCharchian, free player rankings online at guillotineleagues.com. Moving over to some of the games this weekend, of course, the questions usually surround the running back position. Let me ask about the Jets. Michael Carter's out for a couple of weeks. He was a nice pickup, I'm sure, for many. Now he's out. Do you like anybody now in that Jets backfield to step up, and any startable options there this weekend or moving forward?
Well, it'll be Ty Johnson will be the guy that will get almost all the work, we believe. And we already know he's a pretty good receiving back. And Houston's allowed the second most rushing yards and the fourth most rushing touchdowns to opposing backs. So There is definitely just, if nothing else, volume on the side of Ty Johnson, if not talent. And this matchup's pretty good. So Ty Johnson, a guy who we basically don't even bother ranking most weeks, is running back 24 this week.
What about for the 49ers, Eli Mitchell, I believe, is still questionable. He goes down. We see Deebo Samuel getting carries. What do you trust for the Niners backfield, at least for this week?
So I think Elijah Mitchell is going to be back. And when he comes back, what we know is that he gets almost all the work, and he's got a super safe floor, averaging 17 touches and 90 yards per game. You know, Jeff Wilson got all the work last week, but he did nothing with it. He was 2 yards a carry. So I think they go right back to Mitchell in this game. And the Vikings are going to be without both their defensive tackles. And now, because of some overnight developments, it looks like they'll be without their starting defensive end, Everson Griffin. Mm-hmm. So 3 out of the 4 starting defensive linemen likely out for Minnesota in this game. Elijah Mitchell could be sitting on a really good game.
Yeah, certainly. And a big game there for those two teams. The Giants fired Jason Garrett. I had a buddy texting this morning saying, oh, now Tony's really going to break out. Freddie Kitchens takes over the play calling. Do you think this changes anything for some of those Giants players, for fantasy owners that do have some of those Giants on the roster? Do you think this changes anything here moving forward?
You know, sometimes it does. 3 years ago, Vikings fired John DeFilippo midseason. They put in Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski really upended the offense and put the offense into the hands of its best players. And the Vikings offense was materially better after that. So, I mean, sometimes it really does help. Freddie Kitchens' track record, though, is mixed at best, and I don't have nearly the level of confidence in him. Now, that said, I mean, there are quality players on this offense all over the place. Sterling Shepard, Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, and Saquon Barkley. And just get the ball into the hands of your playmakers, for the love of God. And they have been unable to do that to this point. So I think it does probably get a little bit better. Almost has to by default, given how this offense has struggled to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we let you go, as always, the two questions I ask you each week. First off, sleepers. Are there some players that people can go out and pick up for this weekend that you like?
Already alluded to the fact that the Vikings are going to be without these three defensive linemen, mm-hmm. and we talked about how we like Elijah Mitchell, but the passing game is very exploitable here. Jimmy Garoppolo, in these last three games, with Garoppolo healthy, Deebo Samuel healthy, Brandon Ayuk healthy, and George Kittle healthy, he's shown multiple touchdowns in all of them. Mm-hmm. He's topped 322 yards twice. And, I mean, as much as people like to rag on Jimmy Garoppolo, he's been a very serviceable fantasy asset. You know, the Vikings secondary has been all over the place, making guys like Cooper Rush look good. They've allowed the most yards to wide receivers, which brings us to Brandon Ayuk. He's got all 4 paws out of the doghouse, Luke. He's actually out-snapped Deebo Samuel in 4 straight games. He's managed 85 yards and a touchdown in 2 of the past 3 games. Ayuk passes the eye test, and he goes up against a Vikings secondary that has allowed the most yards to wide receivers. So I think he is potentially sitting on a really nice game, and I like him a lot here. Somebody to be aware of, A.J. Dillon is your starting running back for the Packers, and he's got a really tough matchup with Los Angeles. This is one of the best run defenses and the top tackling defense in the league, and Packers are going to be without left tackle Elgton Jenkins, and right tackle David Bakhtiari is going to be out. So it's not a good situation right now for that offensive line and A.J. Dillon.
Real quick, I forgot to ask you earlier, last one. The Titans, they release Adrian Peterson. Any of their running backs are even worthwhile starting right now for the Titans?
Every week it's been a different guy getting the most work. So I think most people are just like, forget it. I'm not going to bother. It was Dontrell Hilliard last week out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Dante Foreman is the best built for goal line use. So if I had to pick a guy, it would still be him. But I think right now we're just kind of avoiding this whole offense. And I don't know, this is that backfield situation right now is just, it's too all over the board, I think. So mostly I think we're just going to avoid and hope AJ Brown comes back healthy so this offense can get something done.
Yeah. There are some messy backfields right now in the NFL. He's Paul Charchi. And for all your help, head on over to guillotineleagues.com to find his free player rankings or follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchi, and he joins us every week to get ready for the weekend. Charch, appreciate it as always. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy holidays.
Have a good pumpkin pie tomorrow, hopefully.
It ain't happening. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchin joins us every week. One of the best in the fantasy world, giving us the lowdown on the weekend and helping you. It's always difficult. When they added Thursday Night Football, by the way, I told you the worst Thanksgiving I've ever had was 2006 because the stuffing was ruined by my aunt. And the Buccaneers got blown out by the Cowboys that day. I don't remember the night game was the Broncos-Chiefs. It may have been the Dolphins-Lions, but I remember Bruce Gradkowski was terrible for the Buccaneers that day against the Cowboys in that middle game. That was the first year also. The other reason why 2006 is noteworthy, other than my aunt's terrible stuffing, was because that was the first year they added a third game to Thanksgiving. I'm old enough to remember when it was only two games on Thanksgiving. You didn't at nighttime, it was just for napping. You didn't have that night game. That was the first ever Thursday Night Football game. It started in 2006, and then from that Thanksgiving on, we had Thursday Night Football the rest of the season. And usually, if you also remember, that's when Thursday Night Football would start every year. You had to wait till Thanksgiving. It wasn't that long ago that we now have it every week of the season. But originally, when they implemented Thursday Night Football, it started with the Thanksgiving game, and that started in 2006. And now, if you're a fantasy football player, now you got six teams playing on Thursday. You're trying to pick, oh, do I play this guy now? What about on Sunday? It's making you make some difficult decisions a little bit earlier in the week, you know, especially when you have some injuries. Oh, is this guy going to play Sunday? Do I need to play this guy on Thursday? Makes it difficult. So appreciate the time from Charch. Get to him on Twitter at Paul Charchin. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. Some audio from Eli Drinkwitz with another parting shot for Dan Mullen. And I know I have always defended Dan Mullen. Let me not so much defend him, but just issue a warning to Florida and programs that make similar decisions. And we'll do that next to wrap up the second hour. We've been playing music throughout the afternoon for a couple of musicians who passed away on this day 30 years ago, such as Freddie Mercury. So a little Queen will take us out. By the way, this week, because Thanksgiving week, there's always a lot going on. This week, there's been tons of anniversaries. Like Monday, November 22nd, was the anniversary of Back to the Future number 2 being released. Jingle All the Way being released with Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the best Christmas movies ever. Casino was released on the 22nd of November. The original Toy Story was released on November 22nd. That was Monday. Also, Rodney Dangerfield would have been his 100th birthday. Today, unfortunately, the 30-year passing of Freddie Mercury. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio as we get ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. Appreciate the time last segment from Paul Charchi and getting us ready for the games tomorrow. We'll get more into those coming up next hour. In just a few moments, we'll get to some audio from Eli Drinkwitz and some a bit of a, I guess call it a warning for programs like Florida and the decision they made this week. As we wrap up hour two with some pleasant Thanksgiving music to get you ready for the holiday tomorrow. Maybe you're traveling today. Appreciate you hanging with us. Maybe you're getting ready to have the family come over tonight. They're staying with you or coming over for the holiday. If you're hosting tomorrow, good luck to you. Hope you have a great holiday. Enjoy all the food. You know, Thanksgiving is supposed to be about saying what you're thankful for. Certainly thankful for those who choose to hang out with us each and every day here on the Morrow Midday Show. To say the least, you are always the most. We know Dan Mullen was fired by Florida this week. And I've come off, I'm sure, as a very heavy Dan Mullen defender. I think it's more about, it's not so much about Mullen, it's more about the fact that it's kind of like a warning for all coaches. You can have a lot of success. You have one down year. You can't even finish that year. You're out of a job. You know, I think that should be concerning to a lot of other coaches. Now, the final nail in the coffin for Mullen at Florida was the loss Saturday to Missouri. As a 9-point favorite, they lose in overtime. Missouri goes for two in overtime, gets it, wins the game. Drinkwitz shows up at the post-game press conference, and at the end, he puts his hood up, he pulls out a lightsaber, he says, you know, may the force be with you, which is a callback to Dan Mullen last year when he beat Missouri on Halloween, showing up to the post-game press conference in a Darth Vader costume after the two teams got into a little bit of a brouhaha on the field. And then Mullen gets fired, and Drinkwitz not done. Eli Drinkwitz was on the radio, I think this was in Jacksonville, went on the station in Jacksonville yesterday, and was asked about the game, asked about the situation, showing up to the press conference with the lightsaber. Here's what Drinkwitz said yesterday about that situation and then, I guess, just Dan Mullen in general.
Yeah, you know, my father-in-law is a farmer, and there's the old saying, you reap what you sow. And so, I believe that, you know, just like everything else, that, yeah, I mean, if you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow, you know, jackass ability, you get jackass ability. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. And so, you know, I've done my fair share of jabbing people and know that it'll come back to you. So, you know, I think it's just kind of part of the game.
That was Drinkwitz yesterday on the radio. I think he kind of contradicts himself there, though, right? I've done my fair share of taking jabs at people. I think it comes back. Wasn't that exactly what he was doing with Dan Mullen, taking a jab at him? Couldn't you say he was also kind of being a jackass in that process? Right, like the old two wrongs don't make a right? But, obviously, no love lost there. Drinkwitz not upset that Dan Mullen is out of a job at Florida. Those two not seemingly two buddies. They don't seem to get along with one another after the developments of the past 2 years. But kind of like his own warning, right? Be careful how you treat others. The old expression is, you know, treat people great on the way up because you may need them on the way down. Drinkwitz may be on the hot seat at some point. He may be in a similar situation. I don't know if he would appreciate members of that brotherhood, you know, taking jabs at him on his way out the door. But besides the point, outside of that, just what I've been talking about this week about the lack of patience for college football programs in these decisions that they make. And you look at a couple of high-profile programs who made coaching changes into this season and where they are now. You know, like Auburn fired Gus Malzahn, who has had success there at Auburn. And now this year, they're about to lose their fourth straight game, finish the year 500, and have a disappointing end to the year one of Brian Harsin, with fewer wins this year than they had last year. Texas got rid of Tom Herman because he only won 7 games last year. Well, now this year, they're having their worst season since the 50s. Point being, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes you need to use patience, especially when dealing with a coach that has a track record who just happens to have one down year or a losing streak or whatever it may be. I have to be honest, it was very distracting trying to finish that thought with this song as we get ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow.
The turkey pokey.
Oh, the turkey pokey. Everyone's favorite tradition for the holiday. Hour 3 coming up next. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
You put your stuffing out. You put your stuffing out.